When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What is up, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. Kevin Klein here speaking as your Los Angeles Dodgers are about 2 weeks away from the 2024 season, officially undergoing what should be a drama-less series with the San Diego Padres. We'll see what happens. The Padres don't have high expectations for this upcoming season, while the Dodgers have all the expectations in the world. Jake Reiner is with me. Jake, what's new? What is your thoughts on the Dodgers' play since the last time we spoke?
Well, I know that as we're recording right now, the Dodgers are taking on the Angels, and Ohtani is facing his old team for the first time in spring training, but a few days ago, when Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman were in the same lineup, the Dodgers just absolutely put up an insane number, a crooked number in the first inning. And it just reminded me or made me think about all the first innings we're going to see from this team once, you know, if we're at home, once our pitcher pitches a scoreless top half of the first, the bottom half of that first inning is going to be electric. We saw how the Dodgers are going to score. I mean, if they're not going to be hitting home runs, they're going to be manufacturing runs, getting base hits, driving in runs, Freddie Freeman, RBI machine. Max Muncy looks great. Just to see that top of the order, 1 through 5 or 1 through 6, the way it was, is just a machine. And I feel like we're going to see a lot of blowout wins this year because of that.
Definitely. Can't wait to talk about Shohei Ohtani a little bit later on in this episode, but we have some housekeeping to do. First of all, if you are new around the block to the Incline Dodgers podcast and you haven't hit that subscribe button, whether you watch on the YouTube feed or on the audio feed, such as Apple or Spotify, hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're watching this episode on the live stream, like Doom_Sal and Dennis Gonzalez, who are in the chat, good evening to you as well. Hit that like button so we can get this show really going. And we're going to talk about some fun segments later on in this episode. So I'm excited about that. Should get Jake fired up as well. We are some foodies out here. And if you're watching the show after the fact, after the recording went through, in the comment section, let us know what Los Angeles Dodger reminds you of a specific or a particular fast food restaurant. That'll make more sense later on. But yeah, this 1 through 3 is absolutely insane. And I'm with Jake. It has all the potential in the world with Mookie, Shohei, and Freddie Freeman. Honestly, the National League doesn't really feel that competitive to me. You've got the Braves, the Phillies, maybe Arizona, and I think that's about it. Those three teams. Yep. And the Dodgers, of course. And there's going to be a lot of dead weight in the National League. And so there are going to be a lot of opportunities for the Dodgers to explode throughout the season in the first inning and give their starting pitcher a comfortable lead to work with.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. This team is already looking like a juggernaut. and we're in just in spring training. And the cool part is that even though wins and losses don't matter in spring training, the Dodgers have been winning a lot in spring training. And I think it's has a lot to do with their depth. And when they start to take out the starters, you know, around the fifth, sixth inning, the minor leaguers take over, the non-roster invitees take over, and our organization is just better than your organization. I mean, it's just kind of remarkable some of the comeback wins we've seen in spring training. And there's a couple of guys I want to highlight that you may not have heard of before this spring training. And the reason is because I've not even heard of them before this spring training. So we'll get into that as well.
Absolutely. First order of business. Dodgers are still making roster moves. They acquired in a low-budget trade with the Detroit Tigers Monday. They acquired 25-year-old utility corner outfielder and infielder Andre Lipschitz, who doesn't have much of a big sample size to work off of, but in 13 MLB games last season, he did go 10 for 38, which equates to 286 batting average, one home run across the minors in Double A and Triple A, 788 OPS. No surprise, Clayton Kershaw went to the 60-day IL to open up this roster spot. But you want to talk about guys I've never heard of. Andre is someone I've never heard of, period.
Yeah, and right on the 40-man roster. Like,
yeah,
didn't even need to see him to see if he's good enough to be on the 40-man. You could have picked a couple of other guys that we've seen in spring training and added those guys to the 40-man. So the Dodgers are obviously high on this guy.
Yeah, so I still don't know what the long-term plan for him is. I don't know if he's going to stay on the 40-man roster or the Dodgers might DFA him and then he clears waivers and they can outright him to the minors. I know they've done that in the past with guys like Luke Williams. I can't sleep on Andrew Friedman because he has pulled off huge moves before, like Chris Taylor, of course, Max Muncy. But then I've been burned the last few times when I felt like Yonny Hernandez and Sheldon Noisy could be something. So I don't know quite yet what to make of this move. I'm not really sure what type of role he could have unless there's an injury. But even there, I feel like there are some other guys that I actually like more than Lipschitz.
Yeah. And the thing about Sheldon Noisy that we were so excited about is because he came from the A's. It was off the scrap heap a la Max Muncy. We were kind of high on Max Muncy and also Chris Taylor, who, you know, started their Dodgers careers around the same time. And we were thinking Sheldon Noisy was going to make some Noisy, and he really didn't at all. It's just a crapshoot with these guys. So you never know what you're going to get. But give Andrew Friedman and everyone in that front office the benefit of the doubt, because more times than not, they find gems.
True. And he's a right-handed bat. So if something happens to Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, then here's another utility guy potentially that the Dodgers could kind of get by during the regular season if needed. Extra depth, I suppose.
I do like the fact that we're stocking up on shortstop depth. I think that they saw what happened last year when Lux went down for the year and pretty much all we had was Miguel Rojas, that they needed to shore up the shortstop position. And you've seen Trey Sweeney in camp and you've seen this guy that they brought over from the Tigers. And there's a few other prospects in the system now that are shortstops. So they're not going to be shorthanded at that position again.
Yeah. And I do believe they have one more guy they could move to the 60-day IL. I don't think they've moved over Nick Frasso yet.
No, I don't think they have either.
They could free up that spot and sign one more MLB-ready player. Based off the way the free agent markets looked, I don't think they're going to sign Blake Snell. I definitely don't think they're going to get to Jordan Montgomery. I think they might be set with the starting rotation for the Dodgers, although I still wouldn't mind them adding one more arm just for insurance. But I guess with the way the deck is stacked right now, we don't really have room to give another opportunity for a starter, because the way I look at it, we know who those four guys are, and that last spot I do think is a battle between Ryan Yarbrough, who who I ultimately think they will give him the job, or Gavin Stone.
To me, with the way the market is shaking out for guys like Montgomery and Snell, I wouldn't put it past us to grab one of those guys. I mean, the market is just not there. We've seen what kind of contracts Bellinger, Chapman have gotten, and Scott Boras has been kind of beaten down this offseason. He was kind of holding everybody hostage, and a lot of his free agents had lofty goals of big contracts, and none of them got any of that money. And it is kind of surprising when you think about Blake Snell, who's just coming off a Cy Young Award season, that he won't command the money that he thinks he deserves. But yeah, if that's the case, high AAV, short-term contract, that's the Dodgers' bread and butter right there. So I wouldn't put it past them to add at least one more starter. I would much rather have one of those guys, Montgomery or Snell, over trying to see if Yarbrough can battle it out with Stone.
Yeah. If for whatever reason Blake Snell is open to the three-year deal with opt-outs after year one, we're probably looking at something along the lines of $30 to $35 million. And with the Dodgers over the luxury tax, you got to tax that another $3.5 to $5 million, I think. So yeah, let's just say we'll put it at $40 million to be safe for 1 year of Blake Snell. I mean, you definitely want to bank on that. Blake Snell would absolutely put the Dodgers over the top. I don't even know how you would pen together the rotation at that point. Like, Blake Snell, to me, looks like he'd be your number three or number four starter at that point. And that's crazy because he's the reigning Cy Young Award winner. Ultimately, I still don't think it's going to happen, but I know that there are some people that think, you know, there's an outside shot. And then with Montgomery, I just think the years and the money, he's going to eventually find a market, and the Dodgers aren't going to want to invest in another pitcher for the long term. But there are still some other guys out there, floated the names like Michael Lorenzen. I'm not sure why he hasn't signed. And then there's no room for JD Martinez, but he's still out there.
Kind of crazy.
So let's talk about some of those guys that are leaving an impression in your little black book right now.
Well, one of them is a guy that I never heard of before, Austin Gauthier. Now, this guy is hitting .313 this spring with an over 1,000 OPS. He has only one home run, but what a home run it was. A grand slam to put the Dodgers ahead a couple nights ago. I really like this guy. He went opposite field. He's a gamer, and he's hitting really well. So he's been great. Do you want to make a comment about him, or should I keep going on my little list here?
Keep going.
All right. So I brought him up earlier, but Trey Sweeney came over in the Victor Gonzalez trade, right? With Trey Sweeney.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Victor. I really liked what I've seen so far from Trey Sweeney. He's hitting .308 this spring, a home run, two RBIs, .938 OPS, looks pretty solid at shortstop. Has a weird little, like, he looks a little like, Evan Phillips, if you really look at his face. That means absolutely nothing, but I just find it interesting. He looks a little like Evan Phillips. So welcome to the club, Trey Sweeney. And then a guy that just got optioned, Andy Páez. This is a guy the Dodgers have been high on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he's having a torrid spring. He's hitting .400, .1,500 OPS, two home runs, eight RBIs. And the home runs that he hits are absolute tank jobs. Just an amazing swing. He looks a lot fitter in camp this year than he has in years past. He plays a good outfield. And unfortunately, he just doesn't have a spot right now in the major league roster to warrant him cracking the opening day roster. So he's going to start the year in AAA and figure it out there. But what do you got to say about Andy Páez? I mean, just super impressive spring so far.
Yes, definitely someone I wanted to focus on. You would never be able to guess he's coming off a torn labrum, especially when you compare Cody Bellinger and the aftermath and Andy Páez, who so far looks absolutely 100%. Two home runs, both mammoth shots, hitting .400, two home runs, eight RBIs, .1,500 OPS. I believe we talked about it with Bruce like a month or so ago. The Dodgers at some point are going to find a way to get him on this active 26-man roster. It might come in terms of someone getting injured or someone's just not playing up to the level that we expect out of them. But at some point, Andy Páez, I don't know if it'll be an everyday starter because they have to get him those reps right now in the minors to continue on with his development. But maybe in the second half or August, September call-up, get him on that bench, get him some spot starts, and we could be talking about Andy Páez as someone who's on the Dodgers playoff roster because
absolutely
he's been high in the prospect rankings for at least 3, maybe 4 years now, and it was always going to remind me how the Dodgers nearly gave him away along with Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling for Luis Renjifo, and Artie Moreno somehow just said no because he got stubborn.
Also, I'd like to ask Andrew Friedman what the hell he was thinking there, because that if that trade went through, that would have been horrendous.
Yeah, that would have... We don't know yet, but if Andy Páez amounts to what he could become, then it goes up there with Yordan Alvarez. That was just a big head-scratcher. I don't understand that one, but yeah. Páez now is 23. So he's close. He's definitely close. Last season was a big blow for him, missing the majority of the season with the torn labrum. But so far, he's looked pretty awesome, and he'll continue to get some at-bats in spring training, although, like Jake said, he won't make the 26-man roster. No surprise. But it's really exciting to see that some of the Dodgers prospects, like Páez, are really thriving right now. And then to Trey Sweeney, another guy I'm also getting really excited about, if he can show that he's major league ready, he could be on the 40-man roster too at some point. And if, when we get into it, if there is a need at shortstop, there is an outside shot. They give the ball and the bat to Trey Sweeney.
Definitely. No, these guys are solid. The last guy I had on my list, which I thought actually was doing much better than he is Chris Owings. He's not doing well at all. So I'm not really going to highlight him, although I do appreciate his versatility, veteran infielder, but he's not hitting as well as I thought he was. So any pitchers that you're taking a look at, Kev?
Yeah.
Some under the radar guys?
Absolutely. One second. I think I might have gotten really excited and knocked my mic out. Yep. I think I'm good now. Okay. Perfect segue. So I'm going to tie this all in together. So I'm going to predict right now what the Dodgers bullpen looks like come opening day. They might get cute and do the matchup game since it's like a 2-game series in San Diego. But for simplicity's sake, here we go. Evan Phillips is a lock. Brewster Gratterall is a lock. Ryan Brazier is a lock. Joe Kelly is a lock. Blake Treinen's a lock, so that's 5. Alex Vesey is going to be a lock. He's your lefty. That's 6. It sounds like it's already been a dead giveaway unless he gets set back with an injury or just sucks. Daniel Hudson's going to make the team, so that's your 7th. And then here's my sleeper to kind of answer your question. Non-roster invite, I think they give it to TJ McFarland. 2nd lefty who's actually done really well so far this spring. And I assume he's going to be a reliever and not converted into a starter, because so far in 4 games, he's thrown 4 scoreless innings. He has 5 strikeouts and he's holding the opposition to a 133 batting average.
Love that.
I really do believe that the Dodgers want 2 lefties in the bullpen, and with Matt Gage not being so great, Justin Wilson not doing so well as a non-roster invite, Yarbrough, I think, is going to be in the rotation at least to start the season.
Vesey has actually been shaky too.
I got to go with TJ McFarland.
I was saying Vesey has been a bit shaky too out of the gate. So you think there are 2 non-roster invitees that are going to make the bullpen with McFarland and Hudson? That's interesting. Definitely, I think Hudson is going to make it, and I like what I've seen so far from McFarland. Not really liking what I'm seeing so far from Chris Matt, He's kind of been shaky. Although the other guy that I was, the other former Padre that I was keeping my eye on is Dennelson Lamet.
Yeah.
Really just rough seas for him. ERA is up in the 11s and the 12s over the last couple of years, and he's dealt with significant injuries, but he did have one bright spot, which was in 2020, as we saw with the Padres. I think it would be sick if they turned him around into something. I know that's a long shot and he's not going to be anywhere near. Ivy says Chris Matt getting shelled right now. That's hilarious. I didn't even know he was pitching at the moment. But if they could turn, who was I talking about?
Lamet.
Chris Matt and Lamet. If they can turn Lamet around, that would be pretty sick. But there's a bunch of guys in this bullpen that have been getting shelled this spring.
Yeah, Chris Matt currently, as we're talking, has given up 2 earned runs to the Angels, and he hasn't even recorded a single out yet. I didn't expect anyone to kind of catch on this, but I left off JP Fireisen off our opening day roster. I did some digging. He does have minor league options right now, so I do think that there is a possibility, and the fact that we haven't even seen him much this spring, the Dodgers might start him off in AAA as he continues to get built up, because so far it hasn't really been a good start for Fireisen. He'll be notoriously known for giving up the big batting practice home run to Shohei Ohtani, and then I think his first spring he wasn't that clean either.
Also, like, it's taken forever with him. I just build him up already or don't, but he's been hanging around for it feels like the last 10 years. I mean, he's always around on the roster, and it's funny. There was the Dodgers always will post like a happy birthday graphic for all the players. And someone pointed out that Fireisen has 2 happy birthday graphics and 0 innings pitched for the Dodgers, which kind of sums it up. Hopefully he can get back on track and get back to being effective.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's no rush with Fireisen. As long as he gets built up by midseason, that's all we need. The Dodgers always find 1 or 2 relievers that they acquire or develop halfway through the season, and all of a sudden they're a high leverage guy. Ryan Brazier came in late. Evan Phillips came in late. The list just goes on and on. But kind of back to players that are just impressing, we got to talk about Max Muncy. He looks really good right now. He's in great shape.
Yeah, he came into tonight's game hitting .500 this spring.
Yep. He's got 2 home runs, 1638 OPS coming into this Angels game, and he looks locked in. And so far, defensively, looks pretty safe.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking my mic. Muncy's going to make big strides this season. I expect another awesome season for Max Muncy in 2024. You can expect another 30-plus home runs, and I think he's going to really show off the glove defensively.
Also, MLB Network came out with their top 10 third baseman right now list, and I was shocked that Max Muncy did not make the top 10, and that someone like Isak Paredes, who is a good player with the Rays, I don't think he's better than Max Muncy. Has Isak Paredes hit 30 home runs in the last 4 seasons? No, he hasn't. Max Muncy continually puts up 30-plus home runs and 100 RBIs. And I have no reason to believe that he won't do that again. He is locked in, like you said. He's 15 pounds lighter. He looks fit. That's going to help his mobility and agility at third base. He focused on this offseason of making defense a priority. And it looks like it has so far. I mean, just that he's making the routine plays, obviously. So we'll see, you know, the more and more reps he gets at third. But I'm expecting big things from Max Muncy. He's going to be in the middle of that order. He's going to have a lot of RBI opportunities, and he's going to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, Rick Monday said it in the broadcast earlier today that Will Smith and Max Muncy last season had the most opportunities in, I believe, their respective batting orders with runners on base. And that should definitely be the case again this season, especially with that super stacked top three. This is kind of a weird nickname, but I kind of associate it with him at this point. He's kind of Mr. Spring Training, but James Outman once again looks good. He has a very short, compact swing, and he looks pretty locked in as well. So I'm excited to see what James Outman's next strides are for this upcoming season. And then there were two pitchers, no surprise who they are, that I want to talk about who look super good as well. Well, there, I guess there's three now, but who do you think those three starters are in the Dodgers rotation?
I'm probably going to guess that one is Yamamoto, one is Glasnow, and the other one is Bobby Miller.
You would be three for three. All right. You can pick one you want to start with, because I have comments on all of them.
I mean, Bobby Miller, who pitched tonight, looked nasty. I mean, the curveball was beautiful. The fastball was working. He got into a little bit of a jam, but he was able to get out of it with a double play. I am really excited for a full season of Bobby Miller, because last year he came up mid to late season and it was great. He made a playoff start. That didn't go well, but having him for a full season, I am super excited to see what he does.
I legitimately believe in my heart he's going to be a Cy Young finalist, meaning top three. He throws five awesome pitches. It's very rare to find a pitcher who throws 100 miles per hour, offers a pretty electric curveball, can throw a slider, can throw a changeup, and has like a kind of a sinker cutter action. Very rare. And the Dodgers found a gem with Bobby Miller. If all pans out well, he's going to explode onto the scene this year. I think the biggest stride that Bobby Miller is going to have to make, though, is he's going to have to generate more whiffs and miss bats. I don't know what it is about the Dodgers and some of their hard throwers sometimes. They can throw 100 miles per hour, but they don't miss bats. Gratterall, Dustin May to an extent, and Bobby Miller. So for Bobby Miller to really elevate it to the next level, he's going to have to generate more whiffs, because that's the type of era we live in now in Major League Baseball. Because one pitch down the middle could be gone for a home run. And so far, what I've seen with Bobby Miller is he's done a really good job of limiting hard contact, and he generates a lot of soft ground outs.
Yeah, and you saw what leaps Brewster Gratterall made last season. He started to miss bats, but also inducing that soft contact. That's why he had the best season he's ever had, is that he made those improvements. And I have no doubts in my mind that Bobby Miller will continue to make those adjustments, especially like you said. I mean, he's got command of all of those pitches you mentioned, and he can throw all of them for strikes, and he can get you out with all of them, especially that curveball. Like I mentioned, yeah, that thing is devastating. But yeah,
speaking of curveballs, but first off, just a side note here. I see the chat is live. We have a lot of viewers. If you haven't hit that like button yet, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. But speaking of curveballs, Tyler Glasnow has me drooling right now. He looks absolutely filthy. I mean, to have the command that he does of the curveballs that he's throwing, super 12-6 action, generating a shit ton of whiffs. In that last outing, he went three innings. I think he had five strikeouts. And I believe all five strikeouts came on swings and misses. I mean, upper echelon fastball, 96 to 99 consistently. The only Dodger that throws a curveball as much as he does. It's been a while. Like we talked about in the chat the other day, Rich Hill threw a lot of curveballs. Clayton Kershaw back in the day threw a lot of curveballs. But the Dodgers haven't really had a starter in a few years now that was super dependent on a curveball like they have with Tyler Glasnow. And when we get down to some pretty critical series, this is going to offer a lot of different looks and make it harder for teams to prepare, because you have a guy that throws hard and he throws a very nasty curveball. And so far, hitters have been super off balance. They can't seem to get a good read on it at all. last season when Tyler Glasnow pitched for the Tampa Bay Rays, I believe his curveball held batters to like a 100 batting average, and they swung and missed half the time. So, I mean, this is maybe one of the biggest under the radar moves that the Dodgers even made this offseason. Obviously, we wanted like a Corbin Burns or Dylan Cease, but the fact that they only had to really give up Ryan Pepio for Tyler Glasnow, when you look at what the White Sox were asking for Dylan Cease, they wanted a lot more. The Dodgers would have had to given up probably more for a rental in Corbin Burns. So they found a way to get this Glasnow deal done, and then they locked him up to an extension. So you're not really giving up Pepio for 1 year of Tyler Glasnow anymore. You get a guy that grew up a Dodgers fan, wanted to pitch for the Dodgers, and now you have him for like the next 5 years. I haven't been this impressed with a new Dodgers acquisition in spring training, albeit in a long time.
Yeah. And the main thing for Glasnow is that he looks really healthy, and that is really encouraging, because that's all he really needs to fight, his availability. I tweeted it out. Like, if he has like a career high X availability this year, like he's going to finish in the top Cy Young voting. I mean, he just has that stuff, and he is a really good pitcher. And not to mention Pepio today, he got absolutely shelled by the Red Sox. He gave up like 6 earned runs. Saw him give up a home run to Tyler O'Neill, which is not to say that he won't, you know, eventually figure it out. But it is kind of bittersweet to see a guy that you traded away for Tyler Glasnow get rocked like that. But I wouldn't call it under the radar. I mean, all of these moves, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Otani, those are all on the radar moves. Those are all big time ace, star power moves that the Dodgers made. And I couldn't be happier with what I've seen from Glasnow, not only on the mound, but his insight to some of the in-game interviews that he's done. He just seems like he's a really cool dude with a great personality, very laid back, very California vibe. He's going to fit right in. Like you said, grew up a Dodgers fan. He's going to fit right in with this team, with these fans. They're going to love him. Ladies are going to love him. He's got the flow. He's almost like 7 feet tall. I mean, he's super tall. He's healthy. That's the only thing I care about, because you get that and you're going to get an all-star pitcher.
Absolutely. And then finally, with Yamamoto, I feel like we keep missing his start by a day, but he pitched last Wednesday and absolutely carved up the competition, had complete command of the splitter, generated some nasty strikeouts, getting guys swinging in the dirt.
How many outings has he had?
Only one.
Only one. Yeah. I was going to say, because I was like, I didn't think he had another one.
Yeah. So I think the next one is actually Wednesday, so tomorrow. But yeah, he had really good life on his fastball. He threw one right by Simeon that just got him frozen, I think. And then he had some good strikeouts to Jonah Heim, and then one other guy got him swinging in the dirt.
Oh my God, the one to Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, him.
Just a sword up there. He looked absolutely lost at the plate. That was awesome.
Yeah, so the one thing I did want to comment with Yamamoto, and I don't know if it's to be a concern, but he was tipping his pitches. So that is going to be an interesting storyline throughout the season, if the Dodgers obviously have to work with him so that he's not tipping those pitches, because if a runner is on second base, they can code it off to their teammate at the plate saying he's about to throw a splitter. Because I found that actually very interesting how Rick Monday knew right away, like, in that first inning, that the splitters were coming.
Yeah, and he could see it from the center field camera. So, you know, like you mentioned, a guy on second base is going to have that same angle.
I like this question from Los17, so I'm going to spotlight it. Who do you think would have more strikeouts this upcoming season, Yamamoto or Glasnow?
I think it's going to be Yamamoto, because the league hasn't seen him yet. And I just think that they're going to be off balance, and he's already an elite pitcher. So I'm going to go Yamamoto. What do you say?
If they pitch the same amount of innings, I have to go Glasnow. I believe his K through nine is something insane. There's been years where he had like a 12 or 13 strikeout through 9 innings. And even last season, he just tends to just rack up the strikeouts. And I just don't see any regression coming his way. With Yamamoto, I do think he will strike a lot of batters out, but I would kind of view him more as like a finesse guy, even though he can throw pretty hard. I just think Yamamoto does a better job of probably inducing contact for outs, while Glasnow, he's always been a strikeout pitcher.
I don't know. Just the way I saw him pitch against the Rangers, he made them look silly up there. So I expect more of that.
Yeah, they both should surpass 200 strikeouts if they have the innings under their belt. I think they're both going to be top five probably in the National League. They're both looking really good. And Bobby Miller, like, and then, of course, Walker Buehler. We have a really good top four right now, and it could get even better. We'll see. I'm going to open up to the chat if there's anyone that wants to ask questions before we get into a fun segment I have planned. Go ahead and drop your questions. If you want to have your question to the front of the line, dropping a super chat doesn't hurt as well. We'll make sure to give you a lot of time and answer your question thoroughly. And while we're at it, this show is presented by TickPick. They've been sponsoring us for, I want to say, a year and a half, maybe even 2 years now. They've been really kind to us.
Really? Has it been that long?
It's been a while. It's definitely been a while.
We love TickPick.
Yeah, and TickPick is really cool. No service fees at checkout. We are going to have Dodgers baseball this month. I guess this is our first March episode, so if you're looking to buy your tickets for opening day or this regular season, TickPick is your place to go. Just download the app. They sometimes have deals on their social media and the websites, so go ahead and check that out. And if you want to make your friend or your girl or your boy or your wife or your parents happy or your husband, download the TickPick app and show them a good time. Okay, so the other final thoughts I had, let's see. I feel like we covered Gavin Lux. Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about Gavin Lux, and then we have to talk about Shohei Ohtani. I almost forgot the main dish. Let's talk about Gavin Lux. What are your thoughts on Gavin Lux?
I mean, at the bare minimum, I'm just happy he's out there. I'm happy he looks healthy, he's running the bases. He looks good. Swing looks good. It appears as though he's getting the hang of shortstop. Like it just doesn't seem like it's all the way there yet. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Although we have seen when he was fully healthy and playing shortstop that it didn't blow me away. Didn't impress me. You know, that much. It worried me a little bit. The stuff that worries me about him is the arm strength. It just is not quite there. And on top of that, the accuracy too worries me. So there are things about his game defensively that I am a little concerned about, but because we haven't seen him during a full season at shortstop, which by all accounts, they say it's his natural position. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and see what he can do. I know he's been working with Miguel Rojas, who's a pretty elite defender at shortstop. So I want to see if any of that has rubbed off on him. But at the start, it is a little shaky. I won't lie.
Yeah, Gavin Lux is going to be an adventure all season long at shortstop. He already has two errors, and I believe he even had a near errant throw that was bailed out by not Freddie Freeman, but someone else at first base.
Padlo, maybe?
You might be right. And I'm concerned. I think a lot of people are kind of shifting their eyes at Max Muncy as a defensive liability at third. I think Gavin Lux is going to be a bigger defensive liability at shortstop. I just have a lot of concerns. Offensively, he looks great. This could be his breakout season with the bat. And if I have to do what I do with every shortstop, if they're delivering with the bat, I'm fine with it. I'll let it be, unless it's Trey Turner. That was god awful. But anyways, for Gavin Lux, I am concerned. It's only spring training though, so I'm going to hold my breath. I'll give him about 6 weeks of runway before I really judge what I think of his fate at shortstop. So you kind of have to wait until then. But so far, I'm not impressed. He did have one nice diving catch. I think it was against the Brewers. But other than that, it's definitely been an adventure at the position for Gavin Lux.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, Mookie looks great at second base. We saw him a lot there last season. But now that he is the full-time second baseman, he looks really smooth. He looks confident. His throws are on target. His range is there. He looks like a solid second baseman. So I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen from him defensively and also offensively. I mean, he's crushing the ball.
Aaron Vaughn with the question, and we'll tie that in to the guy that everyone's waiting for us to talk about. Aaron Vaughn, do you guys believe Shohei is married to a human, or do you think he got Manti Te'oud? If you don't know who Manti Te'oud is, that was a prolific Heisman winner who got catfished way back in the day. No, I don't think Shohei Ohtani got catfished. What I will say about Shohei Ohtani is congratulations on getting married. And my goodness, this guy continues to do an amazing job at keeping things a secret. Yeah. And I also have a conspiracy that he announced his marriage before Dave Roberts was going to leak it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even that answer. That question is a little silly, but no, I don't have any reason to believe that he's not married to a human being.
Yeah. Okay. So Shohei Ohtani faced the Angels. He went 0-3. This was the first time, obviously, Shohei Ohtani went toe to toe with the Angels. We got some pretty cool snapshots of Shohei with Mike Trout. Mike Trout looks like a sad puppy out there with classic Job from Arrested Development. Maybe I've made a terrible mistake because he is with an incompetent organization, while Shohei Ohtani looks the happiest he's ever been. He's about to do big things for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Hey, Kev, can you imagine if those two were on the same team, what they would do?
If it was Mookie, Freddie, Trout, Shohei, that would be
insane. I'm making a joke because they used to be teammates. Oh, anyway, that went over your head a little bit. Keep going, Kev.
I didn't want to go there because it takes more than two. But yes, the Angels never, in six seasons with Trout and Ohtani, they obviously never made the playoffs. But we are in a much better organization now, and Shohei Ohtani is in a much better spot. And before today, when he went 0-3, this guy looks like the sky is the limit. He was hitting .714 in spring training with a 2,200 OPS. I've never seen that stat line before. He was locked in, an RBI machine. He had a triple. He had the home run. He's connected for base hits to drive guys in. Shohei Ohtani is looking ready for the 2024 season. There may have been some concerns initially about the elbow and a little bit of a delay to the batting practice, but this guy is beyond human.
Yeah, no, it honestly, every time he steps to the plate, I have to pinch myself because is this real life? Like, do we actually have Shohei Ohtani on this team? I mean, it's just so crazy to me thinking about when he came over from Japan and he set up shop with the Angels. I was like, oh God, like Angels are going to wrap him up forever. Like they did with like Pujols or like Josh Hamilton or whatever. Like they throw these big fat contracts at people and they stay for way too long, like Mike Trout. And I just felt like that was going to happen again with Shohei Ohtani. But good news for us, the Angels have been absolute ass every single year that Ohtani has been on the team. So that really helped in basically allowing Ohtani to just walk in free agency and for the Dodgers to scoop him up. I am just, well, right now, I'm just focused on keeping everybody healthy. Let's keep everybody in bubble wrap. Nobody get injured before opening day. And let's see what Ohtani can do when the games start to count.
Yeah. This is just a waiting game at this point. I am so impressed with what Shohei Ohtani is doing right now for the Dodgers. And this is going to be an insane season. This is pretty much phase three, I think, or if we're like doing a Taylor Swift eras tour, this is the new era. This is the Ohtani era. I kind of break it up in this playoff stretch since the last time the Dodgers missed the playoffs. You had the Mattingly team. They had their own personality. Then you had the Freeman 2017, honestly, through 2023, I guess. They had their one World Series. They made three World Series. Now we're in a new era. This is the Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto era. They've added a lot of new pieces. They obviously are very determined to win a World Series. And so I don't know. I'm ready. Like, I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. I refuse to miss these first games with Ohtani in a Dodgers uniform.
You know, when David said that he wasn't going to be able to wake up, which I understand, he can't get up that early. I understand. But for me, it's like, I don't care. Like, it's like Christmas Day. Like, you want to get up. You want to watch. You want to see Ohtani's first at-bats as a Dodger in games that count. Like, I don't understand how you wouldn't be able to just, for those 2 days out of the entire calendar year, just gut through it. Like, people do that shift every single day on morning TV. I used to do that shift every single day for morning TV. Like, you can do it for 2 days.
Yeah. And if I missed Ohtani going 3-for-3 with three home runs, I'd feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
I just refuse to let it happen. It looks like that there's a unofficial reports that game one will be Glasnow versus Musgrove, and game two will be Darvish versus Yamamoto.
Sick.
Any other thoughts with Shohei Ohtani or things that you just want to cover, touch base with him?
No, other than the fact that he looks happy, he's smiling with teammates, looks like he's gelled pretty well with the guys on the club. It's a sight to see.
No doubt about it. More to come with Shohei Ohtani, I suppose. But in the meantime, we'll close the door on that topic for now. Anything else, Jake, you want to cover before I shift gears?
Just quickly, that Josue De Paula home run, Dodgers prospect, looked like an inside pitch that he muscled out to left field, which was kind of remarkable and incredible. So I'm excited for him in the years to come to see how he pans out.
Yeah, there's a possibility that the Dodgers outfield one day is De Paula, Outman, and Páez.
Sign me up.
We just have to be patient because he's only 18. He's very young.
Low 17 says Trinan looking good. I believe he is looking good. Although you think he's going to have a 15 ERA according to your predictions.
Was not a 15 ERA, but yes, I do think he's going to have an ERA in the mid fours.
That's just crazy, Kev. I mean, I understand like how projections go, and he's been out of the league for a while. He's recovering from, you know, injuries and such like that. But with the stuff that Trinan has, and if he's on and healthy, I just don't see a world in which he has an ERA over four. That's a guy you don't keep in the bullpen with that ERA.
With a four? I mean, I'm fine with a four. I think in this
day... You're fine with a four ERA in the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean...
In what world?
You got to do it in phases. Like Joe Kelly, I think last season altogether had an ERA in the fours or fives, but...
That's Joe Kelly, though. I mean, Blake Trinan's, I think, a better reliever than Joe Kelly at their peak.
At their peak, absolutely, but... I don't know if Blake Trinan is in his peak anymore.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he looks great in spring, and he looks healthy. So to me, I don't see a world in which he has an over four ERA.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And that only benefits the Dodgers. Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously he's not anywhere near the same caliber, but Yency Almonte went from a 1 to a 5. Phil Bickford went from like a 2 to a 5. So it happens.
Again, you said not the same caliber, and you can't compare those guys.
We will see. Right now, I think they have to kind of ease them in like they did with Shelby Miller. You start them off in moderate to lower high leverage, and then if he proves himself, then you can hand him the ball again, one run, two run lead in the eighth inning. But for now, I think Gratterall is absolutely ahead of him, and I think Joe Kelly is currently ahead of Blake Trinan, but that's why we have a season to play out. Super chat time from our good friend Moose, 1032.
The Moose is loose.
Is it possible to play Pajes over Hayward? Is that a possibility this season?
It could be. I mean, depending on what Hayward does, although I don't know. I mean, power, friendship and all, like, I don't know that they can really cut Hayward, even if he's not producing. But you said, Kev, I mean, you said a bold prediction that Pajes could be a player on this roster down the stretch, possibly postseason. So I think Pajes has a better chance of making this roster via an injury versus him making it over Hayward, who could potentially get cut, because that's the only way that you're going to put in Pajes over Hayward on this roster. I don't know. I just don't feel like that's in the cards necessarily.
I just think Hayward is a very prime candidate for some serious regression this season.
Yeah. It does feel that way.
And they've done it before with players where the whole back hurts and they're on the 60-day IL out of nowhere. And they could possibly do that with Hayward or someone else. I mean, who knows? Maybe Chris Taylor just completely falls off, or Kike Hernandez just completely takes a step back. Yeah. There are definitely some question marks on this bench. I don't think it's as solid as we might think. And so to answer the question, like I was saying earlier, yes, Andy Pajes does have a great possibility of being an impact player for the Dodgers this season. First, we have to see what he does in AAA, if he's hitting the ball well and reminds me of like shades of Outman or Will Smith or Gavin Lux or Bellinger, where all they were doing was nuking the ball in AAA, then it'd be negligent to not give Pajes an opportunity. I'm always in the camp. You got to give the opportunity to the hottest hitter. And there are certain players you ride with no matter what, but then there are other guys that if they're not producing for you, then you give it to the youngster. So
agreed.
Pajes is definitely in the conversation. And then this is a good question, because I think I forgot to talk about him, so I'm glad Dennis Gonzalez brought him up. How much faith do either of you have in Miguel Vargas improving from last season? So I'll start first. I don't get why people are still acting like Miguel Vargas is going to be a bust. Now, granted, last season he was terrible, but he was also injured. Clearly was not a second baseman. That was just not the right fit for him. All confidence was lost. But so far this spring, he's looked pretty solid. I don't know why people are saying that Miguel Vargas looks like crap out there. I mean, he's hitting, I think, 290s with one home run so far. And defensively, he hasn't been a liability.
278.
Okay, so close enough. Defensively, he hasn't been a liability out there in left field. And kind of like the same story with Pajes, if Miguel Vargas, who has more experience, obviously, at the majors, is smoking the ball, then you got to give Miguel Vargas a second opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's all based on production. We know that Vargas can mash at AAA. We've seen it. It's just, you know, hasn't yet translated to the major leagues. And like you mentioned, he was hurt. He started off spring training last season, if you remember, he couldn't even swing. They wouldn't allow him to swing at anything because of the injury to his hand. So we'll see, you know, I mean, he's, you expect him to have a good spring. I mean, he's a good hitter. He's a good player. Whether or not he's a good major league player, that remains to be seen. But I think, you know, if they're going to keep him, then they're going to give him an opportunity to play. The problem is that he's not going to make this 26-man roster out of spring training, because he's going to be right on the bench, and they're not going to want that. You know, they're going to want him to get as many reps as possible. Same thing with Pajes. And so we'll see. We'll see. I mean, obviously, again, injuries will tell. I like that he's working with Andre Ethier out in the outfield. That's a cool story. If you haven't read that yet, Dylan Hernandez did a little piece on that in the LA Times, where he actually did some journalism and interviewed Andre Ethier, and just, he talked about how impressed he was with Miguel Vargas and how he's kind of taken him under his wing. And to me, I mean, Andre was a great outfielder, so learning from him is, you can't beat that. So I'm hoping for the best for Miguel, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to come down to Michael Busch or Miguel Vargas. They were never both going to be able to stick around with the Dodgers organization, and they chose Vargas. So we'll just see what happens.
They chose violence.
Yeah, if you haven't, we have a lot of people watching on X, which is crazy. We got like 200 people watching on our Twitter page or X page. So if you want to follow us, please hit the follow button. Appreciate it. This is my final segment. I want to get crazy here. So Jake, first question for you, how much experience, how much knowledge do you have about fast food, fast casual chains in general? Have you beat it?
I feel like this is my wheelhouse.
Awesome.
I feel pretty well versed in this subject.
Cool. And me and Jake oftentimes have differing opinions on food. Jake is like a sparkling water, and is it Schweppes or what is that?
Yeah, Schweppes. Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm more like a tap sink water guy, and give me some Dr. Pepper, cherry coke.
Give me a Perrier and a Topo Chico, please.
I do not get the phase with Topo Chico or whatever.
You don't have to get the phase. You just got to get the fizz, Kev.
Do they make fake margarita things too? I'm very confused.
Topo Chico? Yeah. I mean, they have an alcoholic version of it. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so here we go. What I'm going to do, and Jake can help me if he has opinions, and if you're following along in the chat and you want to share opinions as well, go for it. We're going to get crazy here. We're going to compare current Los Angeles Dodgers players to fast food chains, fast casual. The list is wide here. So just to kick it off right out of the gate, Mookie Betts is the equivalent of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a powerhouse. The problem with Chick-fil-A is that they don't come through in the clutch, which is when you need them on a Sunday, just like Mookie Betts doesn't come through in the clutch when you need him in the postseason. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to go to a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, but they're not open. Just like I need Mookie Betts to come through in the postseason, and he hasn't the last 2 years.
Yes, and I might add to that that Mookie has that sauce too, yeah. Which that Chick-fil-A sauce is immaculate. It's one of the best fast food sauces out there, and it mixes so well with the chicken strips or the nuggets or even the chicken sandwich. Mookie has that extra spice to him as well. Just his athleticism, his ability to play multiple positions, that sauce can go on many different things. So I feel like this is an accurate assessment of who Mookie Betts is.
Thank you. Let's go to his former number two hitter counterpart, now number three. Freddie Freeman is the In-N-Out burger, without a doubt. Freddie Freeman,
tried and true.
Freddie Freeman is incredibly consistent, just like In-N-Out is, and they are both just double-double machines. Freddie Freeman gives you the doubles. In-N-Out gives you the double-doubles. It's a slam dunk right here. One of the best fast food burgers in all of America, just like Freddie Freeman is one of the best pure hitters in Major League Baseball.
Just to add a little bit to that, Freddie Freeman, about as boring a personality as those fries. So it kind of matches up too.
Harsh, very harsh. Okay, so Shohei Ohtani, I absolutely struggled with. I didn't know where to put him in a camp because I gave some of the top ones away already. Shohei Ohtani loves In-N-Out Burger. I couldn't do another In-N-Out Burger. So I gave Shohei Ohtani Shake Shack.
Okay.
I think Shake Shack is pretty popular. They hit it out of the park with pretty much everything on their menu. They have awesome shakes. And Shohei Ohtani, maybe the best player in Major League Baseball, got a Shake Shack in Dodger Stadium. So I had to line them up. I just didn't know where else to put Ohtani.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Shake Shack is a great cheeseburger. But I feel like, I don't know, Ohtani is a very unique special talent, and so I feel like you almost kind of want to go above and beyond fast food. You want to go maybe more of a gourmet.
Might be the Benihana.
Yeah, maybe Benihana would be, but a bit on the nose. I don't know. I mean, Shake Shack works, but it doesn't quite line up like In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A lined up for Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
That was the tough one. Okay, so let's go through some quick hits right now. Miguel Rojas is Burger King. Both kind of low quality, but Burger King is just everywhere. And defensively, it's a safe choice. If you have to get a quick bite, you're not going to hate your life if you have a Burger King meal, just like you're not going to hate your life if you have Miguel Rojas out there defensively. But if you're looking for something to knock you out of the park, Burger King ain't it.
It's not the burger that you want, but it's the burger that we have, or the burger that is nearby.
And
it was like Gavin Lux went down last year, and it's like, well, I'm kind of hungry. I need something to eat. Let's go to Burger King.
And
I see it. I mean, you could have gone like Carl's Jr. or Jack in the Box.
I have Jack in the Box ready. So he was actually next. Kike Hernandez is the Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box is something you aren't crazy about. Most of the time, it's not going to really come through for you. But every now and then, when you're drunk as you know what, or maybe you have the munchies, it will come through in the clutch. Just like Kike Hernandez will always come through in the clutch. And they're kind of both utility-like restaurants. You don't have to get a burger. You could get chicken. You could get tacos. There's some versatility at the Jack in the Box. Great one, but they come through in the clutch if you really, really need them. And I've noticed that Jack in the Boxes oftentimes are located in the heart of some college bar strips.
You could have also gone maybe Taco Bell there for the
Taco Bell is, let's do them right now. Evan Phillips is the Taco Bell. I'm a big Taco Bell guy. I think Taco Bell is pretty good. There's a reason it's popular and all over the place. And Evan Phillips is your closer. Just like if you need to get a late night meal and everything's closed and you want some Mexican food and you're craving some tacos or Crunchwrap Supremes or whatever tacos, Evan Phillips closes it out just like a Taco Bell will for your night.
I do. I'm kind of with you on that. The late night aspect of Taco Bell. Definitely. I remember when I went to Syracuse, there used to be a Taco Bell on campus, and that was always the spot. Like after you got done with a party somewhere, like you'd wander to Taco Bell and you could always get a quesadilla or a Crunchwrap Supreme, and it always hit the spot.
We got Will Smith mentioned in the chat, so why don't I get to Will Smith right now? He's the Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's isn't going to blow you out of the water with their personality, but it's a very solid meal. It's a very solid deli sandwich. You go to Jersey Mike's, you're not going to be disappointed. Just like with Will Smith, he's not going to blow you away. But when it comes to the top, respective positions, Will Smith's a top catcher. Jersey Mike's is a top fast food sandwich shop. They go hand in hand for me. They both don't really let you down, and there's a little bit of a clutch factor too. There's been countless times where I needed a solid sandwich, and Jersey Mike's was right there for me.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jersey Mike's. I frequent Jersey Mike's quite a bit when I'm in a pinch, and it does come up clutch occasionally, just like Will Smith occasionally comes up clutch.
Yep.
He came up clutch like a lot in the 2020 postseason. But you could have also maybe gone Subway or Jimmy John's.
I could not figure out Subway. So if you have a name, go for it.
Subway.
I'm not a big Subway guy. I think it's very mid.
Yeah, it kind of is mid. Maybe Austin Barnes.
Well, Austin Barnes is on my list. And it's actually the biggest rival to Subway at one point, ironically.
Quiznos.
Austin Barnes.
They're not even around anymore.
They're barely hanging on, just like Austin Barnes is barely hanging on to a major league job. Once upon a time, Quiznos were everywhere. You could count on them. They were reliable, and then they just completely tanked. And that's what's happened to Austin Barnes with the Dodgers. I see an occasional Quiznos around. I'm like, why is that a thing? And that's what Austin Barnes is. Like, he was once solid as a backup catcher, had a great moments in the postseason, but kind of, you know, time, the jig is up. Time's up. We don't really need you anymore. Just like we don't need Quiznos anymore. Congrats, Austin Barnes.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, you know, when, you know, Quiznos' big selling point was the toasted sub, right? And that was kind of like revolutionary that they toasted their subs. And Austin Barnes had that pizzazz about him, you know, when you're thinking about like him taking over for Yasmani Grandal down the stretch, and he's this like pitch framer, and that's like the, you know, the toasted sub. It's like, oh, wow, like Austin Barnes, like, but then quickly you realize that, all right, everyone can pitch frame and, you know, whatever. And then he's stopped hitting and kind of went out of business.
Yes. I've been to Togo's like once or twice, not really that impressed with it. So sure. Also bad.
Yeah. Austin Barnes could be Togo's as well.
So here comes a hotter take, but Walker Buehler is currently Chipotle status. And this isn't necessarily an insult, but there's a lot of question marks here. To me, at one point, Chipotle was kind of goated status. I thought they were excellent. Every time I went there, it knocked me out of the park. I was always kind of impressed with Chipotle. And then as we kind of rattled on the last few, let's say 8 years or so, they've gotten more inconsistent. There's definitely some question marks. They've had some E. coli breakouts. And that's kind of where I'm at with...
Not great.
I'm kind of at that phase right now with Walker Buehler where we could get back to that status. But right now, I don't know. I have more question marks than full faith. So it's a really respectable chain. Chain, and still could be elite, but we have to wait and see.
Do you think Chipotle could make a comeback a la Walker Buehler?
I do think Chipotle could make a comeback. I think it is in the cards. And we saw it with fellow Dodgers pitcher Gavin Stone. He's crediting Chipotle by helping him put on 10 to 15 pounds this offseason. And for someone that's eating that much Chipotle, he does look really good. And then there's an NBA athlete. I don't remember. It might have been Nicholas Bridges, who says he eats.
Oh, Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, him. I think he says he eats Chipotle every day.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
That's disgusting.
There's also like that South Park episode, but...
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Okay, so I have a few more here.
What about McDonald's? Did you give anybody McDonald's?
So, okay. Max Muncy is the McDonald's. This was kind of a reach because there's some negative connotations with McDonald's, but at the same time, McDonald's is everywhere, and McDonald's isn't going to necessarily disappoint you. Defensively, McDonald's is a mess, just like Max Muncy defensively was a mess in the past. And you can't count.
He used to be the ice cream machine.
You can't count on the McFlurry. But if you want a solid meal, it's cheap. Max Muncy's on good value. They're both going to knock you out of the park and you'll be satisfied, I think. And if you're on the road, McDonald's is there for you. Max Muncy does a really good job of hitting on the road. So I put them together. That one was tough. It's really hard to associate someone with McDonald's, but Big Macs, Big Mac, there you go.
But it is reliable in the sense that there are many of them mm-hmm. and the quality control is there. Max Muncy, you know, you know what you're going to get from him. He's not going to be like the best player on your team, just like McDonald's is not the best fast food restaurant out there, but it there's a reason it's been around for so long.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one could be a head scratcher, but Yoshinobu Yamamoto is my Popeyes. There was a crazy craze about Popeyes. You couldn't get enough of those chicken sandwiches. Everybody was running to Popeyes to get those chicken sandwiches. They were sold out for the longest time. The craze with Yamamoto is there right now. I'm on the camp that Popeyes is pretty good. So let me get that straight right now.
Popeyes is good.
It's They've got good sauce. They've got good spicy chicken sandwiches.
It's a bit of a stretch for him, but, you know, I feel like they're, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now, but whatever, like, is there like a new fast food restaurant out there that's kind of like
there are
a craze, you know? I feel like that would be more Yamamoto's.
Okay, so I have two of those actually. So I gave Bobby Miller Raising Cane.
Oh, I'm not, that's perfect. I love that. I love Raising Canes.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I think it's
come pretty, on that Raising Cane sauce, the cane sauce.
I like the sauce. It's pretty good, but people can't get enough about this place. I don't know why they're super popular. It seems like every new location is just stacked with new guests. And Bobby Miller is on the rise, just like Raising Cane's continues to be on the rise. Put them together. And then I don't know if this one's eventually going to go global, but in LA, they're certainly booming. I gave James Altman Dave's Hot Chicken.
Okay.
I don't really need to elaborate too much on that, but another rising chain.
Did you give anybody Wendy's?
I did. I gave that to Michael Grove.
No! No, you can't give Wendy's to Michael Grove.
Wendy's is just kind of there.
No, it's actually good. Wendy's is actually good. It's a solid cheeseburger.
It's not bad, but it's not good. It's just kind of there. Just like Michael Grove is just kind of there.
Oh, don't give
him. I'm like, why is Wendy's even a thing? Like, does anyone actually worship Wendy's?
Give him Carl's Jr. at least.
They're in the same.
Who likes same. Carl's Jr.?
He could be Carl's Jr. It's they're kind of similar to me. Carl's Jr. is worse.
To me, Wendy's is I'm a fan of Wendy's. I'm not a fan of Michael Grove. So I feel like we could reappropriate that. We could put that on someone else. All reassign right. it.
Here's a weird one. Clayton Kershaw is Starbucks. Starbucks is everywhere. Starbucks is worshipped. No matter what they do, people just keep coming to them. Starbucks is going to come through for you in the morning. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know pretty much everyone else is. They'll wake you up. You'll get excited for the day, just like you'll get excited for Kershaw Day. People can't live without their Starbucks, just like for many years, the Dodgers couldn't live without Clayton Kershaw. They have a decent snacks at Starbucks too, unrelated, but Starbucks is huge. Kershaw's huge. They go together. You can't top Starbucks. Like, there is going to never be a more successful coffee chain in our lifetimes than Starbucks.
Yeah, I could see that. I just had a thought. Dunkin' Donuts. I feel like Dunkin' Donuts would be like for like a true like blue collar, like hard hat, lunch pail type of guy, like a Blake Treinen or a Ryan Brazier or even an Evan Phillips. I know we already had Evan Phillips on this list, but like
Ryan Brazier could be, that's a good
like
one.
He could be a Dunkin' Donuts. Like, that's the type of guy that goes to Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, obviously there's Dunkin' Donuts here in LA, but it's an East Coast thing. It's mainly a Boston thing. Brady used to pitch for the Red Sox, so let's give him Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, and then personally, I think Dunkin' Donuts sucks, but it's not the worst thing in the world, I guess. But in terms of a donut, I don't think it's good quality.
Though the donuts are not good, but the coffee. I mean, the coffee will. I know you don't drink coffee, Kev, but
no,
I feel like the coffee is very. Is very representative of Ryan Brazier. Just, you know, get get me through the day, you know, just get me through this game, you know, give me a shutdown reliever. I'm good with Dunkin' Donuts.
All right. I have four more. Del Taco, Chris Taylor, both utility like fast food chains.
Ugh. I hate Del Taco.
I think Del Taco it's decent. It's edible, but it's not great. They have burgers. They have all that stuff. Chris Taylor, very versatile. They go together. Domino's and Joe Kelly. I like Domino's. you can't get enough of Domino's. People like Domino's. They're everywhere. People can't get enough of Joe Kelly. They go hand in hand. So there you go. This is my hottest take. Five Guys is Jason Hayward. Both overpriced, at one point very glorified, but have gone downhill. Now, Jason Hayward has had a bit of a resurgence with the Dodgers, but let's not forget last season he was still making like $20 million. This season he's making $9 million. Five Guys has really gone downhill for me. I used to think it was good. Now I think it's in the bottom half. Like, I don't get why people worship this place. Like, the last time I went to Five Guys, which was close to a year ago, let's just say it could not stay in my stomach. I was driving on the freeway. I had to pull over. I had to find a side street, and I exploded in a bush.
I exploded. I'm Kevin Klein. I eat Five Guys, and then I go explode in a bush. I don't hate Five Guys, but I don't love it either. I've heard some people like it more than like In-N-Out, which I think is insane. Yeah. It's too greasy. It's too much. And the fries are just, there's so much of them and it's just kind of over the top. Not a big fan of Five Guys. And I could see why you made it, Jason Hayward. Which one we didn't do is, Panda Express.
We did not. I did not write that one down. It was hard to find a comp.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I'd like to upgrade Chris Taylor to Panda Express over Del Taco. I just feel like there's a variety of things you can get at Panda Express. There's a number of things that are good. The orange chicken is excellent. And I feel like Chris Taylor is like orange chicken. although sometimes it does disappoint, just like Chris Taylor, yeah. But most of the time it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think that works as well. Very versatile. Okay, the final two, The Habit. This is like top 3 to 5 for me. I think The Habit is excellent. And so I gave that to Tyler Glass now. People around the world probably don't know what The Habit is. Just like I feel like around baseball, a lot of people are sleeping on Tyler Glass now, and they both deliver when on. Last but not least.
I don't love The Habit, just throwing it out there, but I see your logic. Yeah,
the habit is bomb. They do nothing wrong there. The sweet potato fries, excellent. The chicken sandwiches, better than the burgers.
I didn't have the chicken sandwich. I had the burger.
The grilled chicken sandwich, if you're into grilled chicken, excellent. And then the final one, KFC. Disclosure, I've never been to a KFC in my life.
What?
This is maybe the only fast food restaurant we mentioned that I've actually never been to. And I don't get the craze with it. I don't get...
Well, you've never had it.
I haven't. But I mean, I've had plenty of chicken. And I've seen what KFC looks like. It looks kind of gross.
All right. So what sad sack are you giving KFC?
So to tie it all together, I don't get the craze. I don't get the hype. And I feel like people have been just putting this on a pedestal for my entire life. And so I'm giving it to Gavin Lux.
No!
Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux has been with the Dodgers in the majors. This is year 5 now. But to put it into perspective, Juan Soto and Gavin Lux were called up essentially within a year of each other. I think Soto might have had the slight edge by getting the nod in 2018. Look how much, and Soto's younger than Lux. Look how much Soto's done in his career, and then look how much Gavin Lux has done in his career. Bro. Maybe this is the year he finally turns it on, but I mean, how many years are we going to talk about the what ifs with Gavin Lux?
You can't compare the two. They're two completely different players.
I can compare the two because
Juan
at
Soto
one point,
is in a stratosphere of his
here's
own.
Here's why it's fair, because at one point Gavin Lux was like a top 5 hitting prospect in baseball.
And he still should be looked at as that. The only problem with him is that he hasn't stayed healthy.
That's not the only problem. He has a very low career OPS. I don't even know if it's at 700 yet. He doesn't hit for power, which I think is honestly the biggest surprise to me so far, because all he did was rake and hit for power in the minors, and it hasn't translated at the big league level. Defensively, anywhere you've put him, he's kind of been a circus out there, and he's still really young. So Gavin Lux has time to get to the next level. But so far, where we're at, he's been all hype, and I haven't seen it come play out in the field, really.
You know, I'm disappointed in this one, Kevin, because I just feel like you haven't given him the benefit of the doubt here. He has not been healthy. Let's see what happens with a full season.
When is that going to be?
I'm telling you, we've got a good shot of it happening this year.
Like, Will Smith came up the same year, has produced. Gavin Lux came up the same year, hasn't produced. Alex Verdugo came up the same year. As far as I'm concerned, Alex Verdugo has done more in his short career than Gavin Lux has done. Because
all the players you mentioned as comps to Gavin Lux have all been available and healthy.
That doesn't help your argument, though.
It does, though, because you don't have a big enough sample size for Gavin Lux. And by the way, his on-base percentage is crazy. He's had really hot, you know, stretches when he's been healthy, but he hasn't been.
So has Zach McKinstry.
Give him a full season. Give him one full season. If he's healthy for one full season, then you judge him, because he hasn't had that yet.
Well, I'm getting impatient because he got called up in 2019. He didn't do anything in 2020. He was very inconsistent in 2021. And then he was off to a really great start in 2022 and then tanked and then tore his ACL in 2023. This is it. This is his final chance, I think. I don't know.
It's possible. I'm guessing it is.
I'm guessing based off his call up, he must be a free agent after the 2025 season.
Watch. I will stake my reputation on this. If he's healthy this year and there's no major injuries or major setbacks, and he doesn't like lose a month here or lose 2 months there, if he's healthy for the majority of the season, he's going to have a breakout year. I will stake my reputation on that. I believe in Gavin Lux. I feel like he has the tools to be a really great hitter. And of course, in this lineup, hitting at the bottom of the lineup, potentially ninth, I think it's the best spot for him. And I can't say he's going to pull through defensively, because I'm with you. I haven't seen enough defensively to give me any confidence there. But with the bat, with the legs, with the on-base percentage, I'm buying in here. I'm buying in.
We'll see. I honestly think he could very well hit 280 this season with like a 340 on base, but top out at 10 home runs and lead the league in errors. If he does that, are you happy with him? Are you dissatisfied with him? It'd be a very weird case.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mixed bag right there. You know, it's some good and some bad. So we'll see.
All right. Well, if there was any other fast food restaurants or chains or anything that you feel like I excluded and you wanted to get out right now, go ahead. Otherwise, I have one final thought/question for you, and it's back to Shohei Ohtani.
Hit me with it.
Okay, so this is how we're going to end the show. I've heard it on a few shows now. Shohei Ohtani coming to the Dodgers, huge deal, obviously. Do you think, first of all, he's bigger than LeBron James right now? Yes or no? And then to follow that up, what do you think Shohei Ohtani would have to do to be the biggest figure in Los Angeles?
I don't think he's bigger than LeBron James right now, because I feel like basketball, the NBA, is much more popular than Major League Baseball is right now. LeBron James plays on the most popular team in the NBA, and because he's on the Lakers, that has a lot to do with it. He's in year 21 doing things that no one's ever done. He just eclipsed 40,000 points, the only player to ever do that. He's won a championship in Los Angeles. I think LeBron James is the bigger star right now. But if Ohtani comes here and starts winning championships, plural, then Well, we'll see what happens. If the Dodgers win a championship in his first season, you may see a seismic shift in what happens in the popularity. And I think, and I've been saying this for a long time, put Ohtani on the Dodgers. That's how you grow this game. You put him on an important franchise, a popular franchise with a legacy, and watch Major League Baseball get elevated. We've already seen the effect. The fans, the new fans that we've gotten just on this podcast, the immediate attention at spring training, the fact that he's got the most expensive contract ever in any major sport. I think he's just got to win as a team. He's got to win in order for him to kind of overtake LeBron as the number one star in LA. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all that. To take a step backwards, initially, I didn't get the LeBron James hype. Like, obviously, I thought he was one of the greatest of the era, of his era. Then he came to the Lakers, and you get to watch him on a nightly basis, and you just realize, like, okay, this guy really is, like, top three status ever. And
to me, he's the greatest of all time in basketball. That's just my opinion.
He ain't better than Michael Jordan, but I can see the case. He is
better than Michael Jordan, and I will stake my life on it.
Oh, my God. Come on.
If you want to have that debate, we can, but I will go toe-to-toe with you, and I will say that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player that ever lived, and Michael Jordan is number two.
Well, Michael Jordan won a Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think LeBron did.
That's your only argument?
No. I mean, the rings, obviously, but
okay.
And I think he has more MVPs, and he balled out against some of the all-time greats and didn't choke in a finals. But anyways, this is not a basketball podcast.
Well, that's why I wasn't gonna respond.
But this is what I think Ohtani needs to do. I agree. If he wins the championship, especially, I think these first 2 years are pretty critical.
Yes,
he needs to deliver in one of these first 2 years, and there's going to be a huge momentum shift. Especially, it would be ideal if Ohtani and LeBron are in Los Angeles at the same time, just so we can see it naturally occur, so that there's just not the organic or automatic effect with LeBron retiring, and then everyone flocks to Ohtani. I want them simultaneous so we can actually see it happen in front of our eyes. Ohtani needs to win one title. And that's pretty much it. Winning an MVP, I don't think that's enough. LeBron has already won one title with the Lakers. So Ohtani's got to win the championship. And I think that's it. I think if Ohtani brings that title to Los Angeles, not only in LA for this sake of the argument, I think it puts baseball on the map again as a whole. I think you start to see a lot more national syndicates and shows talk about Ohtani and the Dodgers on a weekly basis. It's not going to be like the obligatory, like once in a blue moon, Ohtani's MVP. Do you think it's Aaron Judge or Ohtani? No, they'll actually dive into what the Dodgers are doing. They'll dive into what Ohtani's doing. There might be other storylines around Major League Baseball that catch notice as well. And this is what I also was hoping for, was Ohtani coming to the Dodgers, because it really does set you unlimited possibilities of where this game could be heading. And Rob Manfred's done a shitty job with setting it backwards, but Ohtani coming to the Dodgers really is a marquee dream fit. And this season is going to be unlike, I think, anything any Dodgers fan has seen in terms of national attention.
I mean, whatever happens this season for the Dodgers, it's going to be the most insane season of all time, especially in this first year. But I do have a question. So if you have Jordan 1, and I'm assuming you have LeBron 2, correct?
No.
You don't?
No.
Who's 2?
Kobe Bryant.
Okay, I respect that. Because I was going to say, because my number two, number three, I have Kobe up there too as well. Just because I feel like Kobe, does not get the respect he deserves in those like top 10 lists.
Oh my God. There are some absurd.
I mean, I've seen, and no disrespect to Tim Duncan, who was a great player, but like the lists that have Tim Duncan ahead of Kobe, I just want to throw up. I'm like, what, what the hell were you watching when you were watching basketball back then? Like, to me, right. Kobe is so much better than people give him credit for.
Easily.
Yeah.
Was there a follow-up or you just wanted to know my
No, I was two? Just curious what your top three was.
Oh, yeah. It's those two, and then I think LeBron's my number three now. I used to have...
You think Kobe's better than LeBron? That's interesting.
Yes. Kobe stayed with one team. LeBron jumps around to find a more convenient situation. Kobe won with Pau Gasol. Kobe won with Shaq, obviously. LeBron had to have trios and all that. So, and I don't know. I just think the eras that LeBron kind of played in weren't as strong as what Kobe had to face. LeBron didn't beat the Celtics in the finals.
Also, I think Kobe's the only player to win championships without a top 75 player on his team when he won with Pau Gasol. Now, arguably, you could make the argument that Pau is a top 75 player, but according to the official list, he's not on that list. So it is quite insanely remarkable what he was able to do.
That's the show, folks. We are at the 90-minute mark. So if you watch the entire time, thank you. You're awesome. If you're watching... after the fact, like I said at the top of the show, let us know in the comment section below. Pick a Dodger, compare them to a fast food restaurant. Let it ride. And finally, if you're listening on the audio feed, make sure to hit that subscribe button, follow us on social media, like this page, all the stuff. Thank you guys. It was a fun episode, and you'll hear back from us probably next week to kick off some more Dodgers talk. So Jake Reiner, Kevin Klein out. Thank you guys for watching. We are closing out the show now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.